16-6 Los Angeles Lakers, 107-99 over the Atlanta Hawks. This long, long road trip is finally over for the Lakers. And I think, any way you want to cut this one, 5-2 on this road trip, I think is a fantastic, fantastic way of coming back to Staples Center, which, by the way, you got five games in a row at Staples Center. A good one coming up this Thursday. That's against the Denver Nuggets. But just using that as an example, you wanted to finish off this trip. I know Michael and John were talking about this right before the game started. They were sitting back and they were saying, you know, there's a big difference between 5-2 and 4-3. They're right. You know, if you came back 4-3, you'd be like, all right, well, you know what? Had you lose a game to the Hawks, had you lose a game to the Detroit Pistons, the Philly one, you understand. That's a good squad. You lost by one. Tobias Harris ends up putting up a shot with a couple seconds left over outstretched arm and good defense from Alex Caruso. But this one I just felt like was important against the Hawks. Atlanta was going to fight, no question about it. Trae Young and some of these other Trae Young, 25 points, 16 assists. 25 points and 16 assists. A lot of these were lobs going to John Collins, Clint Capella. Capella had 16 points. John Collins had 22 points. A lot of their points are coming because Trae Young is finding ways to get those guys open and, you know, certainly setting them up. So I just think overall when you look at you want to finish this road trip off on a positive note, and there is a big difference between 5-2 and 4-3. Lakers finish it off against the Hawks, 107-99 the final score. All right, phone number is 877-710-ESPN. I'll ask Laker fans that are out there. You're listening on the app. You're listening on social, obviously in your car. What does this road trip say about this team? Did you learn anything different about this Lakers team? And then you could also give us your specific thoughts about this game, 877-710-ESPN. But first, I want to go to Montrezl Harrell. So Montrezl Harrell on tonight's game, 19 points, 2 steals, 8-9 from the field. Almost 30 minutes for him. By the way, don't be surprised that he keeps getting more playing time right now. And maybe Marc Gasol you're seeing a little bit less of. You see him spurts in the first quarter, spurts in the third quarter, but you're not going to see him playing 30 minutes or anything along those lines. I thought Montrez, these last two games, him and Dennis Schroeder, were key to these last two wins for the Lakers. Montrezl Harrell, his thoughts on the Lakers' 107-99 win over the Hawks.
Hey, Trez, I'm just going to start really simple. How excited are you just to return home?
You know, it's a big excitement, really. You know, it was just good to get out of here and just be able to see my kids, man. It's been tough with COVID and travel and different things like that. I don't try to have my kids be on planes a lot or, you know, run the risk of putting themselves in any harm. You know, so just being able to be around them and just, you know, feel their energy was a great, great, you know, past 2 days that I had with them. You know, and I'm about to go and probably spend the rest of my night with them leading up to a leave tomorrow.
When it comes to this trip as a whole, you guys go 5-2. How would you quantify, how would you assess from a whole team standpoint what you guys were able to accomplish on this trip?
Honestly, I think we was able to build both offensively and defensively. We definitely seen experience, but we don't, you know, ways that we don't want to lose a game. You know, we lost two close games and, you know, we just, you know, basically saw ways that we can lose a game and put ourselves in a position to, you know, have calls go either way, and then it's a fight all the way to the end. And at the same time, we've seen instances where we have a chance to be really, really good, you know, really great, I think so. So, you know, it's a learning process. We're still doing it one game at a time, but, you know, like I said, I think we got great leaders on our team, and those guys are going to lead us in the right direction.
For you personally, another very efficient night offensively. What was it you were seeing within the Hawks defensively that allowed you to be so effective?
Just, you know, doing all the little things that I do anyway. Trying to put myself in a good position in the offensive rebound. You know, guys have great confidence in throwing me the ball in the post and on the block. And, you know, a lot of confidence in my offensive game. So, you know, it's a big, you know, honor, especially with the guys I'm on the team with. But, you know, just being able to get them as open as possible and not to allow it to not end up with the ball. So, you know, I just try to make sure I finish one of those guys and I make the pass and make the play.
Thanks, Trez. Enjoy the fam.
Go to Brad Turner, please. What's up, Trez? How old are your kids and what are their names again?
Say it again.
How old are your kids and what are their names?
My son is 3, my daughter's 2, and my son's name is Amari, and my daughter's name is Alicia.
What's her name? Her name again?
My son's name Amari, and my daughter's name is Alicia.
Okay, then. And on top of that, I know you talked the other night about stuff going on, your grandmother not being around for this period of time for you. How did it make you feel to see your kids, and how uplifting was that to have them at the game so you can play the way you did in front of them?
It was a fresh air, man, just to, you know, anytime I'm around my kids, man, because they're growing up, you know, they're growing each day, just to see them interact on their iPads and just the full out conversations that they hold, you know, with me about the things they're doing on their iPad is just, you know, one of the most amazing feelings in this world that I could ever ask for. And I think the best feeling really is just when I come in the room, man, my kids are, you know, their faces light up and they're instantly yelling my name, just dad. And, you know, you can't ask for anything no better than that, man. I love my kids to death. They're, you know, my complete entire world. And, you know, it's just, you know, a great blessing to have them in my life. I do everything for them, anything for them, and the same way they do for them and my family as well.
One thing Frank mentioned to us before you guys played Boston, he was trying to get you more involved in picking roles with your teammates. How is that coming along? Obviously, I covered you with the Clippers, and you and Lou had that down to perfection. How is it coming along with this team?
It's going to be a growing process. I'm not on the floor with Lou, somebody who I, you know, built the chemistry with for 3 to 4 plus years, not only in our work environment, but also in the summer with being around each other and playing. You know, so it's definitely a growing process, and it's something that I think we're getting better with each game, each shooting around that we have. Like I said, I'm on the floor with a lot of great scores and a lot of talented guys, man. And if I do the right thing by, you know, getting them as open as possible, 9 times out of 10, I end up with the shot or the reward from, you know, just doing the little things. So, you know, really it's up to coach. You know, I just follow the game plan of offense and defense of what we have, and, you know, just try to make the best out of it.
Dave McMillan, please.
Hey, Trez, as a member of a Lakers team that has made a stated goal to be the most safe when it comes to following the COVID protocol, what goes through your head when you see a courtside fan taking off their mask to yell at one of your teammates?
I mean, I don't know. I don't really know if it's something that really bothers us too much. I think more so just what she was saying, also her husband. You know, y'all already are given the privilege to come to the games, man. It's COVID going on, like, arenas don't have no fans. So why would y'all even just, you know, run the risk of putting yourself in that spotlight to be kicked out? And that's what happened, man. You know, it's all cool when you're, you know, cheering or rooting against the other team and you're, you know, saying things here and there, but it's something that just off lines that you don't say, man. And I think that, you know, he crossed those lines with Big Dog, and he retaliated. You know, just won the game's hands down best player, I think. And, you know, he takes a lot of stuff, man, on and off the court, man. So, you know, he don't really get into the antics and stuff as far as fans go on the sideline. But, you know, I guess he just said something to rub Big Dog the wrong way. And, you know, Big Dog let him hear it.
Thank you, Trez.
Okay, we have time for one more with Montrez. Let's go to Kyle Goon.
Hey, Trez, I'm just wondering, this is the second game where Frank's played that shortened rotation. What do you feel about those groups, and has that helped the guys on the court find any rhythm, especially late in the game?
Honestly, I couldn't even give you an answer to that. But like I said, I played my role, man. You know, I do what coach needs us, what he wants from me, both offensively and defensively. Karen and I game plan as far as like his rotation, and, you know, as far as guys getting in the field or for their game, you know, I can't really speak on that because I'm not them. You know, I just go out there and make the best of the minutes that I have while I'm in there on doing what coach wants us to do, both offensively and defensively, and I just follow him in.
All right, that's Montrezl Harrell right there, breaking it all down as far as what he's doing individually, how the team is doing overall on that road trip, 5-2, like we mentioned. 107-99, Lakers over the Atlanta Hawks. When we come back, we're going to take some of your phone calls, 877-710-ESPN. If you're waiting on hold, we'll get you when we come back. Also, Lakers head coach Frank Vogel. We'll get a chance to hear Coach get his thoughts on the win, the overall road trip. Stay right here. This is the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Here's Herter. Stolen by Caruso. Caruso on a breakaway. Look out, Alex. Slam dunk. Timeout, Atlanta. Lakers 86. Hawks 76. Lakers on an 11-0 run in the last 2 minutes and 40 seconds. And they lead by 10.
Great call from John Ireland right there. AC making it happen on the defensive side. He had 2 steals. By the way, Anthony Davis had 3 block shots, and as a team, the Lakers, 10 steals and 7 block shots. The defensive play of the game is brought to you by Adriana's Insurance. Win and save on your auto insurance, and only Adriana's Insurance can guarantee it. For more than 25 years, Adriana's Insurance has been the champion of savings. Visit savewithadrianas.com today. More options, no contracts, just savings. Lakers 107, Hawks 99. Lakers now 16-6 on the season. Let me squeeze in one quick call here before we go to Lakers head coach Frank Vogel. Greg in Ventura. Greg, appreciate you calling in. Go ahead, bud.
Hey, Alan, quick, how do you spell your last name?
S-L-I-W-A.
Okay, I've wondered about that all these years.
Okay, all right.
Hey, Alan, you know, I never hear anybody mention the fact that Harrell was considered at Louisville. He actually won the Karl Malone Award for being the best power forward in all of college in his junior year. And I say that to say this, Alan. You know, we expect him to be a center. He's not a center. He's a power forward, and he's doing a hell of a good job at that. But do you think we need another big man that could come in and dominate in the paint? And I'll get off the phone and listen to your answer.
Thank you, Greg. Appreciate the call. All right, so real quick on that. Montrez, you know, I guess, you know, we say positionless basketball. Whether Anthony Davis, there are times, and I mentioned this, you're going to see Montrez a lot more, I believe, in games just because – you know, production-wise right now from center, it's not like you're going to rely on Gasol to give you 30 minutes. And I don't think he's going to give you much, even if he was giving you 30 minutes. So a lot of times you're going to see Anthony Davis and Montrez in the games at the same time. It's irrelevant, really, who's playing power forward and who's playing center. I think AD is much closer to a center than Montrez Harrell is, just because Montrez is, how big is he, 6'8", 6'9"? And, you know, towards the end of games, we'll use that game against the Philadelphia 76ers as an example. Towards the end of the game, you're not going to have Montrezl Harrell trying to guard Joel Embiid, but you will have AD going up against Joel Embiid. You will have AD guard Jokic on Thursday at Staples Center. So I think it's fair to say that from a power forward perspective, definitely, that's a role I think Montrezl will fit better, and AD will go guard those big centers. As far as Lakers needing another big man, to be honest with you, let's just see how things continue to play out. I think it would be nice if they had a defensive, some kind of rim protector that's sitting on the bench whenever they need him. They don't have him now. They have time if that's something that they do in the future. All right, let's go to Lakers head coach Frank Vogel, get his thoughts on the Lakers 8-point win over the Atlanta Hawks.
Hey, Frank, AD said in the walk-off that there was one particular play that Rondo didn't recognize that you put in and you got a live off of it. He said, obviously he was calling out a bunch of other stuff. And I just wondered if you recalled what that was and kind of what that chess masters were like with Rondo.
That we got what? A live off of it?
He said a live. And I'm not sure exactly what he meant. Like a live, a live look. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Well, yeah, but everything we did was try to trick Rondo. You know, we know how smart he is, and you know, wanted to add some deception to our game because he knows all our packets. So, you know, yeah, we had a few extra tricks in there for him.
Okay, makes sense. Frank, that second unit with LeBron went on an 8-0 run at Boston to start the fourth quarter. I believe it was 11-0 and then finished the third on a 5-0 run. What did you see from that group again, and then how key was that?
Yeah, it was a huge run for us. You know, we got, again, just like you got 4 energy guys around Bron, and You know, Trez continues to finish at a high rate at the rim. You know, Talen's giving us a good lift. AC, I thought Kuz played really well, made some great extra passes, which was, you know, when we struggled the last three games offensively, we wanted to return to that extra pass mindset. And, you know, I thought Kuz led with regard to that in that stretch. But both games that rotation is, you know, one that worked for us.
And then last thing for me, just how about Schroeder and Caruso and KCP defensively, Frank, kind of getting into guys, getting steals, the crunch time plays. What did you see from your guards defensively?
Yeah, a lot of speed, a lot of scrappiness, a lot of hustle. You know, I thought those guys did a really good job on Trae Young. We did a better job taking the ball out of his hands in the second half. And he's really, really difficult to guard. He's really difficult to guard without fouling him. We gave him his average on free throw attempts, 11, which is, you know, I guess it's, you know, could be better. But for their team, you know, shot 17, you know, so I think we did a good job with the rest of those guys. We took the ball out of Trey's hands, okay, and he gives it to the bigs at the rim. You know, our guys swarming the paint, making those types of plays. But Alex, KCP, and Dennis were really good, just trying to stay with Trey.
Dan?
Oh, thanks, Will. Happy birthday, first of all.
Thank you.
Frank, when you find a lineup like that works and stuff like that, how did that get cooked up in the first place? That five guys together, what were you hoping to get from that group? And then now that you've seen it work two games in a row, do you feel like, yeah, this is something that I think we can go to pretty regularly?
There's a lot of lineups I feel like we can go to. No, we got a lot of good players. We got, two good players in Wes and Keith that didn't even play the last two games. You know, that I would feel great about those guys being in there too. You know, so you know, it's just one of those things. You know, it's I'm sure it's not going to work every night, but you know, when we shrink the rotation, guys, you know, aren't sitting on the bench as long for longer stretches, so you have less cold guys coming into the game, and you know, I think our group benefited from those types of adjustments.
Dave.
Frank, did that exchange between the courtside fans and some of your players in the fourth quarter expose anything to you in terms of, you know, the league has enacted protocols that the players must follow? You guys can't even hug the opponents after the games. Yet there's fans in the arenas that can take off their masks and yell at players.
Yeah, well, if that happened, then it certainly exposed something with regard to having fans in a pandemic. You know, you obviously can't have fans taking a mask down and shouting at our players with the virus out there during these times. So, you know, I don't know. I really don't know what happened on that play. Just relying on what you just told me. But I'm sure the league will take a good look at it.
Kyle?
Hey, Frank. You guys have, I think, shot 33% or under from three and like five of the last six games. And obviously early this season, you guys were riding high. I think you had like 41% at one point. You know, what have you seen of maybe, is there some way that defenses are adjusting to how you guys were getting your 3-point looks and you know, what has to be done to build back to where you guys were?
Well, you know, we started shooting the ball with a lot of guys shooting the ball far above their percentage. So there's always a reversion to the mean. I think part of it is that. And part of it is we feels like we've been on the road for a month and a half. And, you know, there's a fatigue element to that, both with the shot making and, you know, the ability to work for shot quality. You know, so just, you know, ebbs and flows that you're going to see in a normal NBA season. You know, hopefully we get home, kind of get our legs under us, get our minds refreshed, and return to form.
Take two more. Jovan?
Hey, Frank. Alex has led you guys in plus-minus in four consecutive games, and tonight he had a season-high in minutes. Has he grown in importance for you guys on this trip, or what have you seen out of him these last few games?
Well, I'm playing him more, but he's certainly he's one of our best players. You know, it's the simplest way to put it. You know, he typically moves the needle in a positive direction, and you see that with the plus minus. not just in these two games, but throughout all of last year. You know, we do want to make sure that, you know, we're using our depth, you know, so we're not overplaying too many guys. And, you know, but Alex is just one of the guys that impacts both ends of the ball. He really, really impacts our defense. And his versatility offensively, you know, the ability to knock down threes on the backside, but also make plays off the bounce, be a good screener, be a crasher, you know, be a roller in LeBron's pick and rolls. They're all ways that he impacts the offensive end as well. So, you know, definitely got huge contributions from him tonight.
Last question, Leonardo.
Coach, congratulations on the victory. Today, you closed the game very well. What do you think you should improve for the future, knowing that you are the team to beat in the entire NBA?
Well, we still have a lot of areas to work on. We're a work in progress, but you know, if we can learn lessons while we win, like we did, we had two long film sessions after the Boston game, even though we won that game, and we'll continue to stick to our process of really focusing in on habits. There's not a lot of practice time. So, you know, what we do in the film room and our ability to carry that out to the court, you know, it's important, and it's a huge part of our identity, you know, our ability to mentally grow from that room. So, you know, we'll continue to stick to our process and hopefully get better as the season moves along.
All right, that's Lakers head coach Frank Vogel. When we come back, we'll squeeze in a couple more phone calls, 877-710-ESPN, if you want to be a part of the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show. And then we'll hear from LeBron James. LBJ will be addressing the media. Looking forward to that conversation. Get LeBron's thoughts on the overall trip for the Lakers. They go 5-2. They're 16-6 on the season. Stay right here. This is the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Points in the Paint all season long is sponsored by Vista Paint. Right now, local residents can take 40% off on factory direct high quality Vista Paint products. A Vista Paint team member will show you how. Locally owned, manufactured, and operated since 1956. Vista Paint, Lakers 54-50 points in the paint, 107-99 overall against the Atlanta Hawks. Let me squeeze in a quick call here before we go to LeBron James. Manny in downtown LA. What's going on, Manny?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Just want to say I'm proud of the Lakers for, you know, just really bringing it all to the table on this very long road trip and actually hitting 20 of 24 free throws tonight. It's kind of huge.
It's a celebration right there.
Especially LeBron and AD and all, you know, all their shooting troubles starting to kind of heat up. And I got to give kudos to Caruso and Montrezl Harrell, 9 for 10 tonight. Like, these guys are just coming off the bench, just making all kinds of plays for the Lakers. So just proud of them. And then one last thing about these ladies on the sideline. I mean, just to have the privilege to be inside of a basketball arena right now versus like all over the country when people are just watching on TV dying to go, have a little bit of respect. I mean, geez, you're at the game, you know, just, I don't know. I'm just so over that stuff. Thanks
well,
for taking my call, guys.
Manny, and I appreciate you calling. I'm actually curious to get more of a story from LeBron's side because I haven't really paid that much attention to it. Usually that's stuff I don't pay attention to. But I'll tell you one thing that you said to start off. You appreciate what Caruso and Montrezl Harrell are doing off the bench. So let me actually stop myself for a quick second because I was giving a lot of love to Dennis Schroeder. I was giving a lot of love to Montrezl Harrell. You cannot, I guess in crunch time, moving forward, how do you take Alex Caruso off the floor? How? He was a plus 13 tonight in the plus minus. I know it doesn't tell the whole story, but he's the highest on the plus minus these last two games. And I just remember these last two. I'm sure there are other games over this road trip where Caruso's in crunch time and he's got the highest plus minus. So give Caruso his love. Definitely, I'm with you on that. Okay, LBJ, 21 points, 9 assists, 2 steals, had some help tonight, only took 12 shots, did get to the free throw line 9 times, was 9 of 11 from the free throw line. Here's LeBron on the Lakers, 8-point win over the Hawks.
Hey, LeBron, first basketball-wise, I wanted to ask you about that group, the kind of new group, you and the rest of the bench guys with THT and Caruso. It was an 8-0 run in the fourth quarter to start against Boston. Tonight it was 11-0, 16-0 if you include the third. What's going on with that unit, and why were you guys having success?
We just played extremely hard. We covered for one another, and and we run. You know, myself, THT, you know, Caruso, Kuz, and Trez, we got a lot of energy, a lot of speed, and we just play a lot of unselfish basketball. You know, I mean, that's our whole team, but, you know, that group particular.
And so you've got the Built by Black History shirt on, obviously, Black History Month. You're there in Atlanta. I just wonder, LeBron, could you summarize this whole year, going back to George Floyd, the tragedy, everything that you went through, and now this Black History Month, what it means for you and just kind of for everybody?
To keep it all real with you, Mike, Black History Month is every month. They just happen to give us the shortest month of the year, but Black History Month is all 12 months for me. You know, we celebrate Black excellence every single day. Every single day of the year, 365 days, and go around my household and around the people, a group of people I'm around. So, you know, I love the fact that we get to celebrate it for a full month, and people, you know, that may not know about it, kind of come together and things. But at the end of the day, I celebrate Black excellence every single day. And Black History Month, I would say, is Black History Day. 365 days of the year, 66 on the leap year. So that's just how we rock around here. And you know, but it's cool to get it started now, and we'll just keep it going throughout the rest of the year and January of 22.
Are you feeling any more recognition of everything you just talked about this year?
I don't live my life trying to gain recognition for anything. You know, you do what's right, you call out what's wrong, and you go from there.
Well, Brian, I wanted to get your take or your comment or your perspective on the interaction that occurred with the courtside fans who were kicked out. And do you feel like that interaction exposed any sort of loophole in the COVID protocol if fans can take off their masks to yell at a player?
No, at the end of the day, that's I'm happy fans are back in the building. I miss that interaction. I need that interaction. We as players need that interaction. I don't feel like it was warranted to be kicked out. There was a back and forth between two grown men and we said our piece, he said his piece, I said my piece. And then when someone else jumped into it and said their piece. But I didn't think they were, you know, should have been kicked out. But they might've had a couple of drinks maybe, and they could have probably kept it going, and the game wouldn't have been about the game no more. So I think the referees did what they had to do. It's fine. I don't think, taking down the mask or whatever the case may be at that point in time, you know, would have harmed anybody. But the people that was right next to her, I wasn't close enough to her. I don't think any of my teammates was close enough to them. Maybe a couple of the refs, maybe. So I hope they're okay. But, you know, safety first.
Dan?
Hello, Brad.
And you look like you're about to ask me, you look like you're ready to fire off.
Well, it strikes me, it's, you know, as somebody you've said all year, like, I want fans. I want to see fans. Does that get you more excited than when you see some people who are, like you said, a little willing to kind of tone those waters, whether it was in Cleveland or here, just seeing those faces that close to you?
Well, I mean, my guy tonight, I don't want to say he went overboard, but he went a little bit out of bounds, too close to comfort for me. And I said my piece, and we could have moved on. But I think it was so close to the officials. I think the official heard it as well, what he had said. And it kind of got blown out of proportion. You know, it's just like sometimes on the floor when two guys get into a scuffle, you know, or get into a little like jostling, and the refs come and try to break it up really fast, and it looks like it's bigger than what it really is. That's what it pretty much was tonight. But the difference, we're on the court and we're not having any alcoholic beverages. So they might've had some alcoholic beverages on the side. So that could have, it made them feel a little tougher than what they really are, I would say.
You were happy that this happened though, right? Like, you enjoyed this.
Who, me?
Yes.
I love our fans, Laker Nation, and everybody else that's against Laker Nation. It just feels better. Fans in the stands is just, it's just better. It's better for everybody, especially on the last game of a 14-day road trip.
Kyle? Hey, LeBron, I'm gonna have to have an alcoholic beverage after this.
Me too. You ain't the only one.
to ask a basketball question here, you guys, the last two games have had come down pretty close, and you guys make these defensive plays. How much pride do you take in sort of reinforcing that the defensive identity you guys had last year in these close situations?
No, I take all the pride. Listen, man, I take just as much pride on the defensive end than I do on the offensive end. Things that you cannot control on the offensive end if you shoot the ball well. You know, sometimes the ball don't go in for you. You have your mechanics perfect. You swing ball. You know, you're being unselfish, and sometimes the ball just don't go in for you. But the one thing you can't control is how you defend. You don't have to worry about the ball going in when you're defending. You have to stop the ball from going in. So being able to get your hand on passes, deflections, things of that nature. You know, tonight, a big play, me just being able to get my hand on Capella on that slip to the rim and us being able to get out in transition. You know, Dennis and AC hustling back and being able to get that steal too on Trey late in the game. And then us, you know, sealing it with a free throw. So, you know, I take that responsibility. You know, AD takes it, me being able to bark out commands and things of that nature. When we defend, we're just that much better, you know, and we want to be the best defensive team in the league. And we hold that with the utmost responsibility.
We've got time for one more, Bill.
Hey, LeBron. Before the game, Frank said it's been kind of a blend of diligence and luck that has kept you guys from having any games postponed. I mean, obviously, a lot of teams around the league have had multiple games postponed. I'm curious, is there any, in a macro sense for the season and what you guys are trying to accomplish this season, what do you see as any advantage in just getting your games played on schedule?
Well, yeah, I want to say, you know, first of all, you know, we've been trying to be extremely responsible. The whole Lakers organization, you know, we haven't had anyone that had to miss days or whatever the case may be since we started. You know, we're doing our testing. Guys are staying, you know, for the majority, staying in their rooms and staying, you know, social distancing and things of that nature. We're just trying to do everything that the protocol is telling us we can or cannot do, you know, and just try to follow that to a T. There's some things you can't control. You know, we don't know if this virus is airborne or if it's passed through, you know, person to person. So what we can't control is just, you know, just trying to stay responsible, you know, do the things that we can do and things of that nature. And then, and it's allowed us to be full, you know, for our games, you know, like I said, and go out there. And because of, you know, the strict protocols and stuff, we haven't had, you don't have really have much time to practice, especially on the road. A lot of gyms aren't open. A lot of arenas are not open unless it's a game. You can't really prepare things on the floor, so you got to do it in film sessions and things of that nature. So to have our full group, like I said before, we've, you know, used a lot of our games as extensive practices to continue to work our habits, continue to work our strategic plan on how we can get better and better as the months go on. So, you know, through luck, yes, but also through being responsible as well has allowed us to be whole pretty much throughout the season so far.
All right, there's LBJ right there giving his thoughts on the Lakers' 107-99 win over the Atlanta Hawks. Next up, a player we don't always hear from, so I'm looking forward to get Kentavious Caldwell-Pope's thoughts on this game. KCP, by the way, tonight. Good to see him get into somewhat of a rhythm, hit three threes, 3 of 6 from the three-point line, played 27 minutes, had 11 points. So KCP coming up next, plus we'll just take a quick look at who the Lakers got coming up, their next game, where the Lakers sit in the NBA standings. Stay right here. This is the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show. I'm Alan Sliwa on 710 ESPN. Lakers over the Atlanta Hawks, 107-99, the final score. By the way, a couple quick reminders here. Next game for the Lakers, not until Thursday against the Denver Nuggets, if you heard John Ireland mention it during the broadcast. So Denver and Detroit were supposed to play today. That's actually the next two opponents for the Lakers. That game was postponed. We'll wait to get more details. Obviously, it's in regards to COVID-19. So I think they had an inconclusive test. So we will wait to find out. But, you know, as of now, we'll assume, obviously, the Lakers are taking on the Denver Nuggets this Thursday. By the way, that game, Lakers and the Nuggets, how good is that going to be? Western Conference Finals last year, and Lakers and the Nuggets had some really, really good battles. So Thursday, 7 p.m. against the Denver Nuggets. Right when we're done with this show, so we're going to go to KCP here in just a second. Right when we're done, don't go anywhere. Scott Kaplan and the Scott Kaplan Show goes till 10 p.m. tonight. So obviously a lot of good local topics, not just the Lakers, but around the Rams. So make sure you stick around. All right, KCP on the Lakers' 8-point win, on getting back on track, hitting those few threes. They have three threes today for the Lakers. Here's Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
KCP,
how you doing?
You guys finished this trip 5-2. Was there any number you guys had in mind, any goal that you were hoping to come back on? I'm guessing 7-0, but would you take 5-2?
Yeah, I mean, we'll take 5-2, but, you know, our mindset –
going into the road trip was to win all seven of them. Unfortunately, we came short of that, but 5-2 is still a winning record on the road for us.
What on this? It was I think the longest road trip of the season, and for any NBA team. Did you learn much about your team during this time that you didn't know already?
It's still the same stuff that we've been on to start the season. Everybody just came together. We've been on the road for a long time. We all just came together, built that chemistry. And we're still trying to get it to where we needed to be, so we could be one unit on the court out there. And I felt like we got to know each other a little bit more.
Okay, let's go to Allie Clifton.
Hey, KCP, I know you talked with Mike Trudell before the game about when it comes to you and just finding that rhythm again. Obviously, you knew you were going to find it at some point, but it was mainly about being aggressive. Rob Ori was talking in the pregame. Once you see that first one go down, just kind of the trickle-down effect and how that can help. What was that like for you to get that first one to fall and then the second and just fall into that groove?
It felt good just to see the ball go in, even if it was a layup. Three ball or two, it just felt good just to see it go through, and tonight I just felt my rhythm was just on point. I was just letting the game flow, and just letting it come, get the game come to me instead of just staying off the ref, stuff that'd get my mind off just playing basketball.
I was disconnected for the start of this, so I apologize if you already were asked this, but to see Rondo again out there, what was that like?
It was good. It's always fun, seeing Rondo, even though he was on the team last year. You already know what, type of energy he's going to bring. It was just good to see him. We all had laughs out there on the court. He was doing stuff out there that he did with us last year, just make us laugh. It was good seeing him.
Thanks, KCP.
Okay, let's go to Eric Williams, please.
Hey, KCP, want to know your assessment of how you guys handled Trey defensively, first off. And then secondly, you guys got a number of important stops during this road trip to close out games. What was key in terms of the way you guys were able to play defensively in the fourth quarter during this road trip?
Just buying into the defensive plan that we have, that coach bring to the table for us, just buying into it, and just going out there and just giving it 100%, effort. I think this is just what it is, the game plan that we have and set. And I think we carry it on the from film to the court, and just we get stops, everything just ties in.
And then strategy with Trey, what did you guys try to do with him?
We just try to mix it up, show him different coverage. We knew he was going to be aggressive. We knew his three-pointer was a big key for us to, not let him raise up. But we just try to just show him different looks, get him into, more of his floating game. And just try to get the ball out of his hands as much as possible, so make somebody else score. We knew he was the head of the team, and just the pressure we came out with, just letting them know we're here. I think it's just kind of, we carried it out through the whole game.
So you guys wanted to run him off the line and make him a driver today?
Not so much run him off the line, but, just contain him, close to his chest, even just, throwing different coverage, having the big always up, trapping them, just being there, showing that presence, and get the ball out of his hand.
Okay, we have one more for KCP. Let's go to Kahari Jones.
What's that, KCP? Congrats on the win. Can you just elaborate on just that process of you all getting to know each other? I know you said you all still just building that bond. And how does it, translate to the court?
Just knowing each other, we talk about basketball most of the time off the court too. Where we
what people like to be, you know, more just like getting to know like people's tendencies on the court, you know, where you let your shot set, you know, where you want to post that, you know, stuff like that, et cetera. And then just talking about life, you know, just how you doing, you know, simple question, and just getting to know one another, you know, it just brought us closer together to even be that type of team, dominant team on the court.
All right, that's KCP right there. So just to kind of put a bow on this game tonight versus the Hawks, 107-99, KCP gets three threes. Alex Caruso, just a fantastic player on the defensive side. You have to have him in crunch time, two steals. Montrezl Harrell and Dennis Schroeder come through for the Lake Show. And then, of course, LeBron James and Anthony Davis. LBJ almost a triple-double, 29-9-7 with two steals. AD, 25 points and three block shots. Next game for the Lakers, I did mention, is this Thursday against the Denver Nuggets. The way the Western Conference standings, Clippers, number one team in the West right now at 16-5. They've won 9 of their last 10. Utah, 15-5. They've won 9 of their last 10. And then Lakers and Denver. There's 3-4 right there, but Lakers literally a half game out of being having the best record in the Western Conference. Don't go anywhere. Scott Kaplan and the Scott Kaplan Show is coming up next. Scott will go till 10 p.m. tonight. I greatly appreciate you guys being a part of the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show. Lakers talk tomorrow from 7 to 9. I'm Alan Sliwa. This is 710 ESPN.